It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels, and I'm happy to welcome Robin Hitchcock to the studios. Welcome.
Hello, Sky. How are you?
I'm great. Who's counting? But what an achievement. Your 21st album.
I guess it's around that. I don't know. Yeah, various people are counting, and they come up with different numbers.
Yeah, and that's a prodigious output, wouldn't you think?
I don't know. I mean, it depends who you are. It's more than Brian Ferry, but not as many as Neil Young, you know?
Somewhere in between.
You have all eternity in which not to exist. And I like to keep busy, really.
Well, the first track that you gave to radio, I want to tell you about what I want. I can't think of a more apropos statement to begin an interview.
You mean that the song itself, or just talking about
the title what it says, the song and everything in between? Obviously, it's a declaration of some sorts. So let's talk about, as you started to work on the Robin Hitchcock album, which just came out a few days ago. What was in your mind, and what was the impetus for getting this record going in the direction it went?
The impetus was a lot of arrows pointing in a certain direction, which it wasn't very hard to read. They all pointed towards Nashville. Mm. I left London. I was living in the Isle of Wight. I was in a new relationship with somebody who was half between Nashville and Sydney, my partner Emma. And I was getting messages from Brendan Benson in Nashville saying, oh, do you want to come and do something? I wasn't quite clear what he wanted me to do, you know. But
obviously more than have a beer at the pub.
Well, yeah, exactly. More than it. And so he was there. Grant Lee Phillips had just moved there. My old friends Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings, with whom I had made an album
right
12 a dozen years previously, were still there. So there were a lot of personal arrows pointing there, and I wasn't really going to do anything on the Isle of Wight, but I kind of go there between relationships, and I write songs there. Indeed, quite a few of the songs from this record were written there. So I found myself going to Nashville, being introduced to some great players, and Brendan said, basically asked me if I would like to make another electric record with two guitars, bass drums and harmonies, as I had done in the Soft Boys, and indeed as the Beatles had done, and the Velvet Underground and Big Star and the Byrds and a lot of archetypal beat groups.
Well, I pray when I'm drunk, I pray for guidance to get me from the sewer where I am. Yeah, I don't know who to. I pray to someone to get me on my way and give a damn. Yeah, I pray when I'm drunk, pray when I'm sober. I'm grateful for the man that I've become. Yes, I swarm with the bees and I with the mackerel, and I think about you every time I strum. Some things can change, some things you cannot change. All things are strange, so I pray when I'm drunk. I feel the hammer of judgment as it smashes on my soul. Yeah, I'm glad I was drunk. I feel more open to spiritual leanings that I hold. Yes, I'm glad I was drunk. Glad now I'm sober. I'm grateful for the hangover that's gone. And I'm grateful to you and all the pickings from the carcass of the life that I came from. From the carcass of the life that I came from.
how much did Nashville itself, upon arrival, influence where some of the material on this album went? Was it the players, be it, you know, just the being in the city and the vibe, et cetera?
I wrote a couple of songs actually in Nashville, and that was, I think then we had a full house of records. I wouldn't say that it influenced anything very much, but I did. I mean, I owe this to, in fact, again, to my partner Emma Swift, who made an album in Nashville, which so far has only been released in her native Australia, simply called Emma Swift. But on that record, she had a load of great local players. She had Brian Owings, who plays with Emmylou Harris and many other, and Tony Joe White. She had Annie McHugh, who's an Australian guitarist who lives in Nashville, and she had Russ Paul, who is the go-to par excellence pedal steel guy. If you want someone to come in and you keep the first take, you get Russ. And they were all available, amazingly, at, you know, reasonable rates. And so I totally slipstreamed Emma in terms of having Annie and having Russ playing a bit of pedal steel. The pedal steel is really there as a kind of marker, just to say, yes, this was made in Nashville. You all think Nashville has a Stetson hat, so here it is, just for you. But it's also a nod to the Byrds, who were the first and so far most effective merger of country and psychedelia. You know, there's an argument that actually bluegrass and Indian music merge in a way with that drone. The Byrds weren't so bluegrassy, but they did have Roger McGuinn playing the sort of raga rock around the same time as having Clarence White playing the pedal steel. They definitely... It wasn't a stable phase, but, you know, they had both. They spoke both languages.
Yeah.
So I think I had a, you know, the kind of music geek historian in me thought, ah, yeah, okay, let's line this up. A bit of spangly guitar and a bit of pedal steel. So, I mean, you look at my record collection, the whole thing is complete. You know, from when I was 13 to 17, and everything I've done is completely contained in those records, in those LPs. You could pretty much predict when I would do it and what it would be. You know, all my sounds are simply jumbles of what those things were, with a bit of sort of 70s stuff sprinkled in later, like Bowie and Ferry. And your comments about the British art school, I think, is really to the point. I think, you know, I'm one of the great British narcissists, and a lot of us come out of art school. Us, you know, I mean, people I've never met or would never be in the same room as.
The royal, like John. We.
The royal, well, you know, no, not the royal we is me. You know, the royal me is, oh, we would like some Marmite, please. but no, just the collective British, you know, us. John Lennon and Keith Richard and Sid Barrett and Ray Davis and Pete Townsend, I think, all went to art school. I think maybe Bowie did briefly. I did briefly. I don't think anyone ever completed the course, but everyone went through about a year of art school.
And then rock and roll.
You know, you do it while you're, you know, in those days you could still get funded to be an art school dropout and start forming a band. So I went through that. Plus, I think music is very visual, and words are visual. And if you put the two together, there should be some kind of picture. I don't think there's that big a gap between music and painting. This is Madonna of the Wasps.
Of the wasps, I wonder where we crossed. I wonder where she lost me. Lost Madonna of the wasps, She's dying in the frost. I wonder what she cost me. Is this love? Don Madonna of the swans, she waves a magic wand, and then she settles on. Madonna of the flies, I look into her eyes, she doesn't recognize me. Is this love? Is this love?
Just recently got what I consider to be a meaningful award. You got the Grulke Prize for Career Act at South by Southwest. And I know that you had a relationship which was unique in certain ways with South by.
Brent Grulke.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was the hub of South by Southwest. He was the pivotal man. So I would always contact him if I was going to do it and say, Brent, can I play somewhere? Where can I stay? You know, I didn't do it through a record company. I just did it through him. And then he went very suddenly. He just, you know, he was gone, and which was terrible. So I was very touched to get that award. I didn't even know it was an option. And I haven't been back in Nashville long enough to figure out which particular places I'm going to donate it. But I'm just looking for things actually specifically to do with East Nashville, which is where I'm based at the moment.
You know? How are you finding? I read sometimes. I've happened to see either reviews of shows or artists' Facebook posts or whatever, and they mention that you we're in the audience, so it appears that you've been taking in at least a few shows while you're in Nashville, that you've been out and not exclusively in a studio the whole time you've been there. Have you gotten
it? Well, I wouldn't have the money to do that.
Yeah, well, there's that.
What a dream, being in the studio all the time. I mean, yeah, there's lots of people to go and see. There's like, you know, touring acts you can go and see, but there's also local people who play, and the standard of music's very... musicianship is very high, so I suppose I'm probably, you know, two or three times a week seeing somebody play, and then every so often it's somebody like Tom Petty came through last week, so we went to see him. You know,
that was that, one that I got one from Benmont saying that you
Well, Benmont got us in, and obviously I met Benmont out here, so Benmont is an LA connection, and we have played together at Largo quite a few times now.
So that was one of the most recent. It was good to see you.
Oh, yes. Well, it was nice. And we saw a huge Benmont on the Benmont tent, you know, big Benmont on the screen with his hat. He looked like he was in an Italian garden. He just has that look. I feel like he's going to walk up with a pot of honey and say, "You should try this, dear boy. It's delicious."
This is going to be, "I want to tell you about what I want."
You think I'm a thug? I hear you thinking I'm a thug, sentimental like a thug. Well, I like the physique, but yes, sir, it's a brutal tribe. We dive for pearls in the train and hold dying competitions. Who can squirt blood furthest into the mouths of our cannibal overlords? I want to tell you about what I want. I want to tell you about what I want. I'm ungenerous, really? In what way? The more you give someone, the more they'll take from you. Rubbishing people is fun, it's second to none in the joy that it brings to the self-righteous mind. Ah, maybe I so hope. I want to tell you about what I want. I want to tell you about what I want. I want world peace, gentle socialism, no machismo. Only God shall be the God of L-O-V-E. I want a non-invasive kind of telepathy that lets you feel what it's like to be somebody else. Feel what it's like to be somebody else. I want to tell you about what I want. I want to tell you about what I want. We're replacing ourselves with artificial thought, and that could be our legacy before the feline dynasty scampers over history. Skiddly bop, skiddly bop, skiddly bop, and the machines count up to heaven 24/7. But 8 billion zeros are still zero if you got no heart. I want to tell you about what I want. Tell you about what I want. I want to tell you about what I want. I want to tell you about what I want.
There was a man who, when you were talking about that intersection of arts and
yes,
someone who really understood that they all belong together. He was foremost in the way he utilized music and respected music in his films. And you got to work with him. Talk about how that kind of, when you're get to know and work with someone like that, how it has to impact your overall sensibility.
I don't know. I don't know what it did exactly, but I did. I liked the way he incorporated music into film, you know, from Stop Making Sense, which is a legendary
landmark
music film, or just film, to bring the way he brought music into Something Wild, He filmed me in concert in a shop window in New York in 1996, Storefront Hitchcock. But he also then would bring people. He put me in a couple of his other movies, and he used a song I did, I think, here and there in his films. He kind of collected people.
Yeah.
He liked people. He was interested in their story. He was also interested in bringing them into stories he was doing, and he liked mixing up his connections. He would have been a great party host. You know, you got to meet Steve. You two will have something in common, you know, and then he'd maroon you behind the sofa with Steve, you know, drinking a de-alcoholized melon, sunrise or something. I don't know, whatever it is. You can imagine you and Steve sort of frantically trying to make conversation while Jonathan's introducing somebody else. But he was good at that. And I liked the way he... The last thing I was involved with him was, or that got released, because there were other things that never came out, you know, was Rachel getting married. And he had all the music in real time. So when there's a car crash, when something dramatic's happening, he doesn't put any music in at all. But then when there's sort of family dramas going on upstairs in the house, you can hear us noodling in the back garden, you know. He was just very good at incorporating things and people.
Okay, this is Mad Shelley's letterbox.
Time is written on your face, and the cold white arms of memory embrace you. Love is all we lay to waste. Shelley's letterbox is full of birthday cards.
tonight at the Troubadour.
Tonight I have a rocking band with me. I've managed to recruit some local LA friends who very kindly going to back me up on this show. So I'm playing one of my rare excursions into amplified beat music, drums, bass, guitar, some harmonies, and Mark Shepherd, who played drums for me in 1982 in London when he was 17-year-old, now known as the King of Evil in the Supernatural TV series. Luther Russell, who I met through the Big Star Mafia,
right.
Local guitarist, a great guy, and Tony Buchan, who is an Australian connection. He's based over here, but he's a great producer and bass player, moved here recently. So the boys are going to back me up, and it should be, you know, we should all still be here by 8 o'clock. So, yeah, there are still tickets available. Come along.
Robin Hitchcock, it's been a joy having you in here. And tonight we encourage all our listeners, make it to the Troubadour to see one of the truly unique artists. It's Robin Hitchcock. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me, Sky.
Got it. It's 88.5 KCSN.